Father, we're so grateful for all that you've provided for us in Christ Jesus. That you are more than enough. Everything that we need, we're grateful. Lord, we thank you that you've not abandoned us to try to navigate life in the dark. But you brought light. You've given wisdom. And again, we thank you. You know, we sing the song Jireh and the fact that God is our provider. But when we think about God as our provider, what does he bring? He brings provision. Provision is what you need in the moment. But as God brings provision to us, it's important that we understand the dynamics of what's at work here and the greatness of our God and his love for you and me. Because that provision, well, let's take the word provision and let's hyphenate it. Provision. Pro meaning ahead of or before or in front of or in advance of. God has vision ahead of time. Now, see, we're finite. We make our best guess at what's going to happen tomorrow, and we try to plan accordingly. And so often we miss it. Kind of like the weather report, you know? It was supposed to rain today, right? That's what they were saying yesterday? Well, maybe yet sometime, I don't know. The point is, God knows the future. He sees beyond what we see. He sees in advance. He sees before we get there. And what he sees in advance, he makes provision for. God knows your life. He knows what you're going to need. This is why it's so important that we walk with the Lord daily, because he will lead you into the provision that his, because he saw it coming and he's made available what you need, where you need it, when you need it. Let's thank him for it one more time. Father, we thank you that you do see ahead. Abraham didn't know that when he was taking Isaac that there would be a ram caught in the thicket. But Lord, it was there waiting. You already had provided. You are Jehovah Jireh. You will provide. We thank you, Lord, that you do see what we don't see, and you make provision for it. We bless you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
I had no idea what he was going to say, but I can tell you this. God has spoken to me to tell you all, there's a shaking going on in the earth. Duh. We already figured that one out, probably. But the Lord says there's a shaking going in his church worldwide. He's not only shaking out those that aren't on fire for him, but he's preparing us. That shaking is the initial birth pangs of what he's going to do. So he's saying to the world church, but to our congregation, get ready. Get your hearts and minds prepared, because you're going to start to feel the birth pangs. You're going to start to see a growth, kind of like a woman starts to show. You're going to see that. You're going to feel it. It's going to feel both different and uncomfortable, but at the same time necessary for us to continue to do what the Lord wants us to do, and that is to grow and reach the world for his good news, the good news of Jesus. So prepare your hearts and minds and look forward to what's ahead.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Lord, for your work in us and in the world. Amen. Before you're seated, if you haven't picked up a service program, they are available at the back table, and then you can be seated. All right, so this morning, if you will take your service program, find that tabbed extension, put a crease in it. It'll tear much more easily. Tear that apart, fill it out front and back, and then if you would, on your way out, put it in the offering bucket at the back. We appreciate that. This morning, we are beginning a new series, God's Benefits and You. God's Benefits and You. and you. Scripture says in Psalm 68, verse 19, look at it with me. Read it carefully. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, not stingily parcels it out. He daily loads us with benefits. Now, I'm going to stop right there. We'll finish the verse in just a moment because I know what you're thinking. If God daily loads me with benefits, I'm sorry, I'm not seeing it. Where are these benefits? It's too many days I go at the end of the day and I look and I just see a dearth of what I needed for the day and exhausted and worn out. And well, that's what we want to talk about. God's benefits in you. I will submit to you that we're leaving, as the expression goes, we're leaving too much on the table. We come to the end of the day and we have not experienced and received everything that God has provided for us. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation, Selah. Now, Selah is a term you'll find periodically throughout the Psalms. It means to pause or stop and think about what you've just read, or the ancient people would have been singing these, and while the music continues, there'd be an interlude, as it were, and you're to pause and think about, stop singing it, and think about it. Think about it. Meditate on it. There are benefits to being a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, you know, there are people who are critical of churches and pastors like myself, ministers, who emphasize the help that's available to us in God's promises. And my prayer for you is that you don't run to the internet, because I don't want you to get sucked into these criticisms, because most of them get carried away to an unhealthy extreme. In fact, I think it was in last month's issue of Christianity Today, and I don't, you know, Billy Graham, when he initially prompted the start of Christianity Today many, many decades ago, it was good. Today, I don't know. There's some good stuff in there occasionally. But anyway, and I can't remember the exact title of the article, but basically the byline was, or the subhead was, in counteracting the prosperity gospel message, have we gone too far and now we're not open to God's provision at all? And I think that is a problem. So many people are so afraid that they're going to, oh, we don't believe in the prosperity gospel. Well, you know what? I do. I believe that God daily loads us with benefits. I didn't say God was going to make you a gazillionaire. I didn't say that God was going to give you every little, you know, trinket that your heart desires. But God does bless his people. So, you realize the scripture says, God himself says that he is an ever-present help in time of need. The Holy Spirit is called the helper. So our help comes from the Lord. So we communicate God's benefits so that they're not forgotten. And that's my contention this morning, is that as we go through this series, some of these things you're going to find yourself looking at, oh, yeah, I knew that. But you're saying, I knew that in the sense I knew it, but I forgot about it. And you're going to be reminded that you need to exercise your faith and receive what God has provided in his grace. He's the God of salvation, the God of help. So let me just warn you, today is nothing more. The entire sermon is nothing more than the introduction for the next 6 weeks. Can you believe that Easter is 6 weeks away? It's that close, even though it's in the middle of April. Oh, and by the way, don't forget to set your clocks forward next weekend. You're going to lose an hour of sleep, but the good news is it'll stay light longer so you can play outside longer. Some of you are saying, I don't like playing outside because your play is work outside. And yeah, I get it. Anyway, it's a fun time of year. So today's just the introduction. Now, you ready? Here we go. Let's get into it with all the good stuff right up front. Psalm 103, beginning in verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Would you read that highlighted part with me? Ready? Out loud. Here we go. And forget not all his benefits. There are benefits. Well, now he's going to enumerate some of them. Verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, there are at least six things that we read here, and I like to look at them as these are six seeds that sprout and grow into a multitude of blessings in each one of these categories. But you know what? I'm really not going to touch on these. So I said, today is an introduction, and I'm just laying a foundation. But I want you to see there's some specific things that I want, as we go through this, that I believe God is bringing to us at Family of Faith. Things that God wants to open your eyes to and see new and or renewed ways that God wants to fill, load your life with benefits in some particular areas. So anyway, there'll be people who look at this and say, okay, but Pastor, you know, the Psalms, that's in the Old Testament, that's under the Old Covenant, and so we really can't claim those for ourselves today. And I just think, oh, phooey, that's not true on multiple fronts, okay? There's so many things that people who even say, you know, make such a sharp, unhealthy distinction between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, things that they still apply to their lives. But the reason why, hold on, I'm falling apart here, get this situated again. The reason why I want to take a look at this is because these things, these blessings, these benefits are for us today. And it's rooted in this. You want to say Old Covenant, New Covenant? Okay, let's talk New Covenant. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6 beginning says, speaking of Jesus, but now he, Jesus, has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. For if that first covenant, the old covenant, had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. So we do, we have a new covenant, but let me tell you, the new covenant doesn't mean that the old covenant, the benefits from it, you see, you go to Galatians chapter 3. This is free. You can write this down. Galatians chapter 3 says, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. It does not say that we've been redeemed or set free or no longer apply to us the benefits that were found there. In fact, the new covenant that Jesus established for us expands and brings abundance of those things. The same God who healed in the Old Testament, it's the same God who heals us today, 1 Peter 2:24, for by his stripes you were healed. My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We have an expansion of these things. So this morning, as again, an introduction laying the foundation, I want to talk to you about the first and foremost benefit, but it's out of this benefit, this particular one, that all these others come from. Okay, so in John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says this, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it, that life, more abundantly. Life is at the center of the gospel. We need life because we were spiritually dead. That means this spiritual death doesn't mean non-existence or ceasing to exist. It means separated from God. We were separated from God, and only the life of God, God's life in us, will remedy our need. So when we open our heart to Jesus, when we receive eternal life, we receive the life of God on the inside. This is the moment that translates a person from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And immediately, instantly, we become a part of God's family. Now, this is a progression. Stay with me. You receive Jesus, you're born again, you're translated from the kingdom of darkness into God's family. Okay, now I'm a child of God. What does that mean? Glad you asked. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, but as many as received him, To them, he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Speaking of God's salvation through Jesus, that when you receive Jesus, when you put your faith and trust that Jesus is the only way that you can get to heaven, that you can have the life of God come to you and in your life, it's through Jesus. It says he gave the right to become the children of God. Now, this word right, he gave them the right. It's interesting. I won't say it's incorrectly translated from the Greek New Testament. It's just not full enough. It's not complete enough. The Greek word is exousia. Exousia is one of the words that many times is translated in Scripture as authority or power. And in this context, it's speaking of authority, that he gave us the authority to become the children of God. In other words, with rank comes privilege. There are benefits. And as a child of God, as a child of the King of the universe, you've been given, as the scripture says, the right to become a child of God. Receiving Jesus is the beginning of new life, and it's also the beginning of a new way of living. And we've been given the authority to become the children of God with certain rights, authority, and benefits, all in the name of Jesus. Romans 6:23 says the wages, what you get of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, when anyone hears the gospel message and they open up to God's promptings and they receive Jesus, their spirit is born again. It's recreated. It's described this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone, bad, good, ugly, sweet, sour, doesn't matter. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Specifically, this phrase, new creation, means something that's never existed before. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, this, as we often refer to it, is this new birth takes place not in your body. Or in other words, how do they refer to it? The narrator referred to in A Christmas Story, Fargus. What do you have? Yellow eyes. He had yellow eyes. You know, when you receive Jesus, if you had yellow eyes and, you know, chocolate chip hair, whatever that looked like, blonde with, you know, dark spots in it. When you receive Jesus, you still have yellow eyes and chocolate chip hair. It doesn't change your physical body. It changes you on the inside. You become a new creation on the inside. Again, the life of God comes into your life. And so he says, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. This is not something that happens in your soul, but in your spirit. Now, look with me. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, because I'm laying this progression, and here's where it's all going to connect and where we're going to move forward from. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely or entirely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, notice this. He says you are a three-part being. I'm going to get to that in just a moment. But I want you to know right now that it'll help your spiritual growth to know the differences between your spirit and your soul. They are not the same thing. Even some ministers haven't fully come to grips with this. But Hebrews chapter 4 says that God's word can divide, separate, segregate soul and spirit. Look at it with me, verse 12 of Hebrews 4. It says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of your heart." See, there are three basic dimensions to every person. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. With my body, I contact the physical realm. With my soul, I contact the intellectual and emotional realms. And with my spirit, I contact the spiritual realm. As Jesus said in John chapter 4, they that worship God is spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. It's spiritual worship. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is our spiritual worship. The spirit is the real you. That's, you know, we say, well, I'm combing my hair. I'm washing my hands. My feet stink. You know, whatever it is. Well, who is that? Who's saying this is my? It's the real you on the inside. You're more than just a body. We possess a soul. Your soul is made up of your mind, your intellect, your emotions, and your will. We live in a body. And this is what we're going to do in the weeks to come in these three areas, spirit, soul, and body, that there are benefits. There are benefits in each of these categories. Now, the thing that we're also going to see is that it's like if we were to say spirit, soul, and body, and we were to make three circles, but they're all connected. There's a connecting point. We understand this because, you know, if you're a worrier, if you are worried or stressed out, how many of you know that's what's going on in your soul, your emotions? It can affect you physically, right? Stress is a killer. It can affect you physically. So we're going to see there's things that come from God into our spirit that can affect us in our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, and can also affect us physically. So there's going to be some overlap. And again, we could probably take, you know, 52 Sundays in a year and still not exhaust all the benefits that God daily loads us with, the benefits that are available to us. But again, there are some specific, very specific things in each of these areas of our being that I believe that God wants us to focus on, because he's going to show you new and renewed ways of receiving what you need right now in this season of your life. So that's where we're going to limit it to, is that by the word of the Lord. So I want to begin in looking in John chapter 5, verse 26. He says, at this point, he says, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself." Now, the Greek word translated life in this verse, both times, is the Greek word zoe. That's how it's pronounced. It looks like zoe or zoe, but it's pronounced zoe. Is that me? Oh, there we go. Okay. Zoe. Reading the Bible, when you see the word life, each occurrence in the New Testament that you'd read the word life is not always talking about the same thing. There are other words in the New Testament that are translated life. One of the words is the Greek word psuche. It's referring to natural or human life. There's bios, which refers to manner or behavior of life. But zoe, as it's translated in Scripture, most often refers to eternal life or God's life that he imparts. So the thing to remember here at this point is no matter what manner of life or behavior you have, it won't get you eternal life. You have to have received God's life, zoe. And that's what Jesus came to bring you and me. John, in the same chapter of John chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into zoe, life." Now, I want you to see what this verse says. It's making it very clear that as a believer, if you've put your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ, you right now have everlasting life. You have it now. You're not going to get it when you get to heaven. You have the life of God in you right now. And there are benefits that come with that. But just because you receive Jesus doesn't mean those benefits are just going to show up automatically. If you don't know what it is, if you don't know how to engage in it, you'll never be able to enjoy the benefits of it. We all understand this in the natural. You can have something and not know its real value, and it won't do you any good. Before the first service, I was talking to somebody, Their family, they own a couple of restaurants, and I was asking about business, and they were talking about, you know, inflation. How many of you have seen the effects of inflation? How many of you have felt it? Yeah, prices just going up and up and up everywhere for everybody on everything. Anyway, I say that to say this. Two or three years ago, I went to Sam's Club. I had to get a particular item, and this was when, you know, $100 was even more so $100 than it is now. I mean, now it's tip money, right? Almost. So anyway, I'm at Sam's, and I get what I need, and then after the family's thrown everything in the cart that tickles their fancy, whatever, I'm at the counter, and it's being all rang up, and it was $290. And like I said, that doesn't sound like a lot today. I mean, that'll get you into the movie theater and let you get some refreshments, you know, popcorn, a drink, and candy. By the way, be careful, because, you know, act right in the line at the concession stand, because you're in the line at the concession stand at the movie theater, people are going to think you're dealing. It's the only way you can afford to buy treats at the movie theater, I'll tell you that. Money's coming from somewhere. Anyway, so $290. Anyway, I had with me, I had them for about a year, a gift card that said Walmart on it and another gift card that said Sam's. So I thought, okay, I'm going to apply this to $290. Okay, I figured they're probably worth $10 a piece, put them on there. So the girl's doing all this. She had a little badge. Her name was Cherokee. So I asked her, "Are you Cherokee?" She said, "Yes, I am." I go, "Hey, cuz." Anyway, we're both native. Anyway, so she's ringing this up, and she takes my gift cards, and she scans them, runs them through there, and says, "Okay, your $290 bill is now $50. What? Yeah, you had your Sam's card was for $150, and the Walmart card had $90 on it. And I'm thinking, really? Wow. You see, I had something, but I didn't know what I had. It was much more valuable than what I thought it was. $10 gift card, even back then, you know, thinking, oh, that's not much, but got to use them sometime, right? It can happen that way in the natural. I've told this story before, but it bears repeating at this point. True story. Years ago, a guy from Europe, poor, doesn't have much, his family doesn't have much, and he's determined to come to America. So he saves and scrimps for a long time to get steamship boat fare to come to the United States. And so he packs his lunch, you know, got bologna sandwiches, ready to go. So he's on the ship, and it's 4 or 5 day journey across the Atlantic to get here back in those days. And, you know, at meal times, you know, everybody's in the dining hall eating with the captain and so forth, and he's chewing on bologna, and I imagine after about 4 days, it's like eating rubber. You know, gnawing on that. Ew. So they're coming in, they can see, you know, that point, Ellis Island, where they're going to come and be processed and so forth. And the captain is greeting people, and he comes to this man. He says, "Well, I'm glad you're on the ship here." He says, "But I never saw you at dinner." "Oh, well, I didn't have any money to go and eat dinner with everybody else." And the captain looks at him and says, "Well, didn't you know your fare, your ticket to the boat, paid for your meals too? I've been chewing on bad bologna all this time." You see, you can have something and not know what you have. You cannot know what's available to you. And so many believers, I'm afraid, that's what happens to us. God has loaded us daily with benefits, and we're not seeing the half of it. We're not seeing the bigger part of that. We don't know that it's there. Therefore, we're not engaged to receive it, apply it, appropriate it. We miss out on what God has for us. Look with me. We're about ready to wrap this up. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has already given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness." How? "Through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these exceedingly great and precious promises, through these, you may be partakers of the divine nature." Now notice, it doesn't say that you will automatically be a divine partaker of them. That you may be. Just because you receive Jesus, you're born again, those benefits are there and available for you. But if you don't know that receiving Jesus has opened this up to you and you don't appropriate it, it doesn't do you any good. It's possible, but how does this happen? By growing in the grace and the knowledge of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. When you become a child of God, you have passed from the dominion of Satan and darkness into the dominion of Jesus Christ. And you can be a partaker of the life of God that he's deposited in you because you've let Jesus into your life. When we allow God's word and life to dominate in our lives, we experience God's benefits, hear me, even in difficult times. See, God's benefits do not always exempt us from the things that happen to us in life. His promises, like we looked at last week, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they defied the order of King Nebuchadnezzar, were thrown into a fiery furnace. They didn't get exempted from that. But guess what? Jesus was right there in the fire with them, and the flame had no effect on them. They came out of there not even smelling like smoke. That's what Jesus, he'll be with you no matter what you encounter or go through in life. That's one of the benefits right there, even in difficult times. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. And I want you to repeat this out loud after me. Say this declaration with me. And I want you to say it like you mean it, like you believe it, because it's true of you. It is true for you. So say with me, I am a brand new miracle creation in Christ Jesus. God gave me the gift of eternal life. He's given to me authority and benefits. His life in me provides everything I'll ever need to successfully navigate whatever life throws at me. Okay, you know what? We're not going to do it again, but I think you could have been a little more. It's the truth of God's word. You know what? It is important that you begin to agree. Say the same thing. That's what the word in Scripture means, confess. It means to say the same thing. It's to agree with God and make the declaration that, yes, I am a child of God. Jesus, the life of God, lives in me. And there are benefits associated with that. And like I said, in the coming weeks, we're going to see benefits that come spiritually and into your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. Some of you have been struggling. You've been struggling in your emotions, in your soul. And I promise you there are benefits we're going to talk about that you're going to see new ways to appropriate. And for some of you, it's going to be things that you knew and, oh, yes, and you're going to get back on track to receive. And in your bodies, there's benefits to your body because he satisfies your mouth with good things. Spirit, soul, and body, there's benefits for you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that you are the God who daily loads us with benefits. Lord, it's inexhaustible. Lord, where we have not seen what's ours, we want to change that because everything that you've provided, we want to bring you glory by receiving, just like we brought you glory when we opened our hearts and lives to Jesus. Be glorified in us, Lord, in this area too. By the benefits that you've provided. It's not humility to reject, to refuse what you've provided. It is gracious. Can I just interrupt the prayer for a moment here? I want to give you this illustration. Moms, you in particular, you'll appreciate this. If you go to the time and trouble to fix a big Thanksgiving meal, and how many of you know that just doesn't start on Thanksgiving morning? Thanksgiving meals start days in advance, right? But this can be true for any meal. And you have a little boy or a little girl. Oh, Mom, I'm not worthy to come and sit at the table. I see how hard you've worked and what it cost you to provide this. And I'm just a worm of the dust. No. Just stick a few breadcrumbs under my door here. That's all I'm worthy of. How many of you moms are going to accept that? What's wrong with you, kid? Get in here, sit at the table and eat what I prepared. Doesn't it honor mom to come and eat what she's provided? You're not being humble. You're not honoring mom. You're not honoring your heavenly father by just saying, I'm not worthy, or for somebody else, not for me. No. Let's finish the prayer. Lord, we thank you for what you've provided. We do want to be partakers of. Lord, we want to taste and see and know that you are good. And then take what we've freely received and give to others in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. We'll see you next time.